Good morning and welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Eric Bennett, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. Thanks so much for listening this morning. If you're listening last month, I spoke about being a tree. We talked about being deeply rooted in the faith so that we could withstand anything that comes our way. This morning, I want us to talk about the cares of this world. Mark 4, we see the parable of the sower explained there by Jesus. But I want us to zero in on one specific part of this parable for our purposes. I would, however, highly encourage you to read the whole parable starting in verse 1 through verse 20. This morning, though, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. If we're being honest, is this us? I know it is me on many occasions. One way of thinking about this is think of the last time that you spent 30 minutes of uninterrupted time with God, or in study, or prayer, a time where you didn't think about anyone else, didn't think about yourself, you didn't check your phone, you didn't look at the TV, you didn't think about what it needed to get done or what was coming up for tomorrow, none of the cares of this world. Well, 30 minutes, that's a long time. What about 15 minutes? How about 10 minutes? 5? Even 1 minute? I know for me, sometimes it's even hard to have a prayer of a minute or two without an interruption or a thought of this world. This world's like that. It's like those thorns that are trying to choke out the Word of God and our service to Him. This world wants to occupy such a large place and time that there's no room for doing our service to God. If we were to be asked about our priorities in life, most, if not all of us, would put God first. Serving God or following Jesus, something along those lines would be our number one priority. And we would sincerely mean that when we said it. But is our life reflecting that? The time that we're spending, is it reflecting that? What about our actions? Are they reflecting that? Luckily, we have God's Word and His perfect wisdom to help guide us. He knows that we're going to be distracted, just like any children, and that we need guidance and direction. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll start there in verse 30. Matthew 6 and verse 30 reads, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We know that's the truth, right? We're so often worried about the cares of this world that it's the only thing that we can focus on. Or we aren't content with the things that we have and we're always striving for more or better or whatever it may be. I think the following story is a great reminder to us and one that any of us could really relate to. The author of this was Joe Kemp. It starts like this. "It was 2 days and I would be turning 30. That's a long pass for me and probably many of you. But he was turning 30. He was insecure about entering a new decade of his life and feared that his best years were behind him. His daily routine included going to the gym for a workout before going to work. Every morning, he would see his friend Nicholas at the gym. Nicholas was 79 years old and in terrific shape. And as he greeted Nicholas on this particular day, he noticed he wasn't full of his usual vitality, and he asked if there was anything wrong. He said, I'm feeling anxious because I'm about to turn 30. And I wondered how I'd look back at my life once I reached Nicholas's age. So I asked him, what was the best time of your life, Nicholas? Without hesitation, Nicholas replied, well, when I was a child in Austria and everything was taken care of me and I was nurtured by my parents, that was the best time of my life. But then when I was going to school and learning the things I know today, that was the best time of my life. Then when I first got my very first job and I had responsibilities and got paid for my efforts, that was the best time of my life. When I met my wife and I fell in love, that was the best time of my life. The Second World War came and my wife and I had to flee to Austria to save our lives. When we were together and safe on a ship bound for North America, that was the best time of my life. When we came to Canada and started a family, that was the best time of my life. When I was a young father watching my children grow up, that was the best time of my life. And now I'm 79 years old. I have my health, I feel good, and I'm in love with my wife just as I was when we first met. This is definitely the best time of my life. Isn't that great to think about the best times of your life is right now, the time that you're in? You know, we're always looking for that next great thing or whatever it is, and we forget what many great things we have going on right now, all the blessings that Jesus showers upon us. This brings to mind Paul in Philippians chapter 4. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And we may be asking ourselves, but how can we be content? I can't possibly do that. And we'd be right if we thought we were doing it alone. Luckily, the next verse tells us exactly how we can do that. Look in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We can see the same idea of thinking about ourselves or thinking about God. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, Jesus speaking, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or to be cast away? How many things are we chasing here on this earth? Probably many of those things are not even attainable. Or if they are, they're going to take a lot more time and sacrifice than we initially thought or even considered. Other times we reach those things that we're looking for or those goals that we've set for ourselves, and many times they don't even offer the fulfillment that we thought they would. They weren't as great as we thought they would. That shiny thing that we wanted, it doesn't make us happy. It's a hard concept to deny ourselves and our wants and our wishes. But aren't we so glad that Jesus did this very thing? He didn't want us to have to suffer. He didn't want to suffer himself, but he knew that he had to, not for himself, but because of us and for us. Please turn with me to Luke 22, and we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22 in the Garden of Gethsemane. This sequence of events seems to affect me more than almost any other part of the Bible. You have Jesus praying in the garden, knowing what was about to happen. He was in such great agony, and his closest friends and followers were sleeping while he was in this great pain and agony. Luke 22, starting in verse 41. Luke 22, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. We can't even imagine what Jesus was dealing with at this point. He literally had the weight of his world on his shoulders. He held mine and your salvation in his very hands. He could have chosen not to go through with it. As a human, he didn't want to, but he yielded not to the cares of this world, but instead to his Father's will, our Heavenly Father's will. When we're asked to submit our life to God, are we going to do it? Look with me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. That's what it's asking us to do, starting in verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thankfully, Jesus was perfect. He endured the worst of the worst. Thankfully, God's word is perfect, and it guides us to all righteousness. And thankfully, God's will is perfect. But we as humans in this world, we're not perfect at all times. We fall. We make mistakes. We commit sin. The Bible tells us this is going to happen. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We can't just let those sins, those thorns, take over our life. They can't be allowed to continue to grow and choke out God's word and our love for Him and our love for our fellow man. Maybe this morning that's the case for you. You've become a Christian at some point in the past, but those thorns, those cares of this world have taken over your life. As long as you draw breath, it's not too late to repent, to turn away from those sins and turn toward Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Or maybe you've never become a Christian. Well, you're saying, what do I need to do? God's perfect word, the Holy Bible, tells us exactly what we need to do. We need to believe, we need to confess, repent, be baptized, just like the Philippian jailer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we see how he becomes saved. Acts 16, starting in verse 30. The Philippian jailer brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So we see here that he wanted to know what he needed to do to be saved. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And then that very same moment, he washed their stripes, showing repentance. He may have been the one that gave them those licks on the back or those stripes. Even if he wasn't, he was the one consenting to it. And then him and all his household were baptized straightway. God's plan for us is so very wonderful. And thanks be to Jesus for enduring the cross for all our sins. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I hope that together we can continue to grow in our love for God and our love for one another. You're invited to the services at the Pine Top Church of Christ. That's at 1101 Pine Top Road in Russell Springs, Kentucky. That's in the Winter community of Russell County. If you ever have any questions or would like to study more, please contact us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. If you're looking for a church to attend, please consider what we've talked about today. Join us for worship services. I'll be speaking this morning at 9:45 for the morning worship, and then again at 4:30 for the evening service. Next week's radio program will be from Brother Roland McFarland. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.